Well, hello, White Sox fans. Welcome to a emergency Dylan Cease has been traded stream/podcast. How you doing, James?
The Wednesday night edition. I'm good, man. How are you? Dude, that was like a horrible time for me. Just like the absolute worst possible time that could have happened. So like I was eating dinner with my wife and kids. And then, like, she, you know, went upstairs to, like, do whatever. And I usually, like, clean up the kitchen and put on the TV or whatever. And I'm like, oh, God. Like, and then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to check out this return. And then I wasn't doing any of, like, the jobs that I typically do, like, waiting for a return for 40 minutes. So, you know, but yeah, it's fine. It's, you know, they usually work out for me. It's usually really late or I'm off work or something. But tonight, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, I was running errands late and I left work late and, you know, I see the tweet as I'm walking through the store that he got traded and then we didn't get the return until I was driving home. So, I mean, I was at the store for like 40 minutes. So, yeah, it was just... Yeah.
Did anybody else at the store find out when you did? That's pretty cool when stuff like that happens, I think. I remember I was at Bears camp when the White Sox traded for Peavy. That was interesting. You just like see everybody like get on their phones and they're starting to look around. And then the night that the Bulls landed the number one pick for Derrick Rose, I was at the Sox game. And it was just like, you know, you're just like looking over like section to section. Like, what are you talking? What's going on? Like, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was at Costco. So, you know, nobody was really seemed to be worried about baseball.
It's all Cubs fans. That's why.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So Dylan Cease traded to the Padres, who were, I have to imagine that the team was probably already on the plane and on their way to Korea because they're going there to play the Dodgers. So I don't even know does he even fly there? Does he just stay here? I don't even, who knows?
Yeah. My guess is he's not going, you know, I guess the question is, were any of these guys, I guess like Steven Wilson probably is in that airplane. You know, like Drew Thorpe, I don't know how I think he's pitched well this spring, but I don't think it was like anticipated that he was like going to be on the big league team or anything. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think Thorpe's there, but I mean, I have to imagine that Steven Wilson, and I'm going to throw this out there. It's not my favorite Steven Wilson, singer for Porcupine Tree, my favorite Steven Wilson, but you know, hey, I'll take this Steven Wilson. He's, you know, he's a pretty decent pitcher. He just graduated, I think, last year.
Yeah, and he's like 29 prospect. Though.
Yeah, no, he's yeah. But he's a decent pitcher and
he will be traded at the deadline.
Yeah, and also I have to imagine, you know, like when I think about every time now that we make a move and it's for a pitcher, I think about what Brian Bannister is doing and what he sees that he thinks that is going. I mean, you know, obviously you look at these guys and if they're, you know, semi-accomplished, obviously you look at them and you go, oh, that's, you know, obviously that's why you want them. But, you know, what does he think that he can improve on to make these guys better?
Well, so, I mean, like with Drew Thorpe, it's clearly the fastball, right? I mean, Drew Thorpe has a 70 changeup, like one of the best changeups in the minors. I know I come on every week and tell you how useless spring training stats are, right? So, but I'm about to tell you like how good Drew Thorpe has looked in spring training. So, but I mean, it like the fastball is not great, but the rest of his stuff is so good that he's, you know, at least probably a back end starter because of it. And he has the ability to be a lot more than that. I think they bought certainty tonight. You know, if you look at my Twitter, look, I thought Robbie Snelling, Dylan Head, those types of guys, because I know how much the amateur department liked those guys. I don't know if they were available, but Drew Thorpe is a really good get in this deal because you also got two other guys that are pretty good prospects, right? Like if it's Drew Thorpe as a headliner with guys in their 20s, like, yeah, not like in the 20s in their system. Not great, right? But I mean, you got three guys that are now in the White Sox top 10. You know, you mentioned pre-show, you'd have Thorpe 2 in front of Noah Schultz. I'd have him 3 probably, but I mean, he's no further down than 3. And he could pitch in the majors this year. So, you know, I know your original question was about Bannister. I've done the same thing, right? Like when I heard the Texas rumors last night and they're talking about Jack Leiter, who's been really bad.
Well, the high walk rate anyway.
Yeah, like had they made that trade, I would have been saying the same thing. Like, oh, Bannister like sees something, thinks he can fix him, get him back to what he was doing at Vanderbilt after all the changes Texas put in. So I think that's just going to be a thing from now on. Anytime they get pitching, it's like, this is a Bannister guy. When they trade pitching, this wasn't a Bannister guy. And look, I think he's like earned the benefit of the doubt while the White Sox haven't necessarily. I mean, you go look at what San Francisco was able to do when he was there. I mean, he would unearth a lot of pitching and he would turn decent guys really good and really good guys great. So, yeah, this one, I'm just, you know, pretty excited about the top end of this deal anyways.
Yeah, so Drew Thorpe, pitcher of the year last year with the Yankees, gets traded to the Padres. So a second round draft pick by the Yankees out of Cal Poly. And, you know, like you said, the fastball is, you know, at least the velo is not great, but you know, something that, you know, I've watched him before. But one thing that he does have on that fastball is he does have, you know, some nice arm side run on it, and he's got very good command. The guy goes deep into baseball games, doesn't walk a lot of guys, and he struck out something like 189 people last year. And that was between Advanced A and Double A. He finished the year last year with Somerset, I believe, is the Yankees Double A affiliate. When you pair his fastball, which, you know, is, you know, generally running in the 92 mile an hour area, and you pair it with a plus plus slider and a plus plus changeup and great command, you know, it's just, he's devastating out there. And the thing is that the guys, you know, kind of has the mindset, it looks like, of like a Dylan Cease, where he's just like even keel out there and nothing seems to really rattle him. He did give up some home runs last year, so you know, like that is a thing, but you know, compared to you know, the fact that his whip was like 0.98 last year, I'm not really worried about that so much.
It was really good in college. His junior year, obviously, he pitched for the U.S. Collegiate National Team. I think he might have led the nation in K's. I'm not really sure, but it was similar. And then, yeah, I mean, he was just like a second-round pick. You know, I think most scouts think number three, number four starter. But here's the thing. I mean, if Drew Thorpe can throw 97 all of a sudden, it's more than that because of how good the secondaries are. I mean, the changeup's really good. Like, he's going to live in the big leagues even if he's 91 to 95. I mean, that's how good the rest of the stuff is. So, you know, and I think they've just kind of, you know, we could go a bunch of different ways here, obviously. I think they've added like a mix of these, like, kind of close to the majors starters. None of them really aces, right? But guys that can pitch in a rotation. Nick Nastrini has looked pretty good. You know, they've already, you know, made some changes with some of their own guys. And Jake Eater, it's been, a little bit slow there, but I mean, yeah, I mean, this is just like another guy for the pile, right? But it's a guy with a lot of upside.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I have to say, like initially upon the trade, you know, like it took me about 10 minutes to marinate on it, you know, before I formulated an opinion on it, you know, and, you know, I go through and watch the highlights while I'm cutting things up, you know, and everything. And I'm just like, all right, you know, okay. Now I kind of, you know, I reaffirm myself, because, you know, like we were all very worried about what the, you know, trade return on a Dylan Cease was going to look like. And when we saw that it was Jairo Iriarte and Drew Thorpe, and that was the only two pieces that we saw in the deal, I was fairly worried, you know. But the addition of Zavala and Wilson on the back end is definitely makes me feel very good about it.
I knew they were getting a big league reliever in this trade somehow. Like, it's just like okay, get a big league reliever, because then ideally you can like trade that guy for something else, right? But, and then, you know what, the other part of this is, what if they sign Michael Lorenzen and then flip him too in July? Like, you can, you know, add even further. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, so like I had heard yesterday, you know, about the Texas, you know, Texas, and then like the return got public. So it's like, okay, I don't know if that's going to happen. Like, once like the return gets that public, but I mean, you're talking about Brock Porter, who's underachieved a little bit as a high school righty, you know, and then Jack Leiter, and then Duran, which like makes sense for what the White Sox do, but this is much better than that, I think. But I think kind of knowing what the White Sox were asking for from Texas, and Texas being as far along as I had heard they were. So then I heard, oh, like from a really good source of mine, like, no, there's somebody else is in and it like might happen. And I didn't know who the team was. And then Rosenthal wrote about the Padres. So then at that point it's like, okay, well, I mean, look, if the Padres are topping what Texas has come in with late here, like it's going to be pretty good. I just didn't know what, right? And we saw it tonight, Madman AJ freaking Preller, man. Like, it just, he just never, ever stops. This is just what the man does. And I think I said earlier this offseason, and you and I have talked about it a little bit, like, they needed a general manager, you know, with the balls to make a trade. Like, there's just so many guys, like, that just don't make trades and they don't trade prospects. And look, I know, yeah, like Dylan Lescoe and Robbie Snelling, right? Like, maybe those guys were never available, and guys like that don't really get traded anymore, guys ranked that highly. But I mean, even like Baltimore couldn't top this, you know, like, even like what are we doing? Like, the Yank, like Cashman sitting on his hands. Like, I don't know. And AJ Preller is just not really that guy. And the guys that Chris Getz has dealt with, AJ Preller and what, Alex Anthopoulos and Jerry DePoto, like, you know, he's got all the trader guys like he likes dealing with, because they just, you know, they get right to it and make deals.
Yep. I'm going to go ahead and bring up some video here. I've got two games that I cut up here of Drew Thorpe, and we're getting some pushback on assessments of Drew Thorpe here in the comments. I'm going to go ahead and bring those up as well. So Garrett Hilton says, I just don't see that with Thorpe. I think the odds of his fastball jump like that is not great. And if it doesn't, he's a back end guy. My opinion on this thing is that, I would like his fastball to go up a little bit. But the thing is with how much he's around the zone and how much run he has on his fastball, I don't think we really have to worry about that kind of thing here, you know. Now, I'm not going to call him Greg Maddux, certainly, but Greg Maddux, he didn't exactly have, you know, crazy velocity either, you know. I'm willing to take the jump on this thing. You know, after, you know, seeing him pitch a couple of times last year and now like going back and diving into it and just, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, like I assumed last year during the season when hearing about Drew Thorpe, I was kind of along the, he's a Yankees prospect, so how good can he really be? But then I watched him pitch a couple of times and I was like, oh, okay. You know, this isn't the standard Yankees type hype, you know, that I have been very vocal about when talking about Spencer Jones, when people bring up Spencer Jones and how he has to be part of the return if it's with the Yankees. And, you know, I've said it on numerous streams here that, you know, like personally, when I watch him, he reminds me of a faster version of Zach Collins without the, you know, plus walk tool, you know? So, but yeah, this to me is something different, you know, every pitch has got movement, you know, and the change up, you know, and the tunneling on everything is just immaculate. You know, I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, you know, it wouldn't be the first time, but, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you want your, you want the best return that you can get for a Dylan Cease. And, you know, I could see how some people would, you know, balk at the guy with the 92 mile an hour fastball, but the guy struck out 190 people last year. And you can say what you want about levels. His whip was sub one. So no matter who he was seeing mostly, it didn't matter. Nobody was getting on base. So I don't know. Your thoughts?
No, I mean, I get it. I mean, I do think it's a little bit safe at the top, but I think Iriarte is the opposite, right? Like Iriarte is like the, you know, the premium velocity guy who, like, look, there's been some bullpen talk with him, mostly because like he's 160 pounds, but there's no reason to not just like continue him starting too. And he had 77 Ks in 61 innings last year too, with a whip like of 1.2. So, you know, like I understand not trusting the White Sox and their track record, right? But like it really is different people in charge, regardless of whether Chris Getz was in the room when all these moves were happening before, right? Like, I don't know anything about Paul Janish. Like, we're going to learn more about him, like, as the season goes on. But I do think we know a lot about Brian Bannister. So, you know, I'm curious to see what the team has to say just about these. Because, look, like, I had heard from a lot of people that, you know, Chris Getz was holding out for a lot. I mean, that was kind of what was said all off season. So I think I think people are just a little bit underwhelmed because it's not like a Chris Sale return, but I mean, you also didn't trade Chris Sale. And, you know, I think I tweeted, like, I was scared to death of Dylan Cease pitching this year. I know, Ian, you weren't as worried about that as I was, but I just like,
for the health factor, is that,
yeah,
is that
just, what, or yeah, just the, what if he's not good? I mean, I know he looks good, fair, like in spring training, but I mean, you know, like what if it's a lot of 5-inning starts and a bunch of walks again, and then you're getting even less than is offered now, right? And you would always hear from, and I'd hear it from like beat guys like covering the team that were like, oh, Getz has a price, he's not going to budge. I'm like, yeah, but like he's going to budge eventually, because like your price changes at midseason and when there's only another year left. So, like, I'm good with this. Like, you know, if I could have got like an all bat package from Baltimore, like, of course I would have preferred that. But it just like doesn't seem like guys like that were available. I think this is the best they could do. And I think they did pretty well, like considering like how long they had to wait to do it.
Yeah. I, you know, like that was the thing, is that, you know, we got to the point where we were kind of conceding that maybe he was going to be with the White Sox this year, you know? At least until the All-Star break or the trade deadline, you know, and I don't know, they pulled it off right at the last second. The Yankees, mm-hmm. what are you doing?
Well, so I mean, it seems like your boy Spencer Jones, who I know you have some concerns about. It seems like that's what the Sox wanted, apparently. Like, I don't know. Like, do you like Drew Thorpe better than their two guys, Chase Hampton and Will Warren? I know they were all in the same system one, you know, before. So, I mean, even to top this, I mean, you're looking at what, like a Chase Hampton headliner for sure with another. I mean, you might have to do Hampton and Warren to match this. Plus, you know, like a young upside guy, you know, like who was their, George, like George Lombard or something,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it just like,
yeah, he's
doesn't
like what, 18,
seem,
so.
Yeah, and it just like doesn't seem like the Yankees were very interested in doing something like that. And like you said, like that's the type of deal that would have scared me just because they're Yankees prospects and they're always overhyped.
Always.
Yeah. And even like once you saw like the Texas return a little bit, like, I don't know, do you think like people are like the people that are listening now, would you have been happier with what was rumored from Texas? Cause that was, I mean, like they were the, you know, the bridesmaid here apparently, like, you know, they finished second. So, you know, it's Jack Leiter and, you know, Brock Porter, who was one of the better prep arms in his class 2 years ago out of Michigan, but he hasn't, you know, really lived up to the hype yet either. And then I don't think anything on the positional side was as much upside as Zavala. So I do think that that changes things a little bit. We haven't really talked about Samuel Zavala at all. And then I've seen the questions on their top 10. Like what
that's
we think
that's
it is.
What
it, we can
yeah.
do it. We can do it before we get out of here. We don't
that's,
have to do
that
it
that was my
if
thought
wanna,
as well as
if you want to break down the other two guys, that's fine. But we'll do that yeah. before we go.
Yeah, I was going to tell Kevin Malloy. He asked about the overall system, the rankings, and we will. I you know we'll at least kind of kick that around. I don't know if you know we'll come to a consensus at this point, but we'll definitely kick that around before the show's over. So. Jairo Iriarte. So they had him slated for AAA going into this year. At least that's what it says on MILB.com, which, you know, he was in AA last year and, you know, almost averaged 2 strikeouts an inning. I think it was something like 15.6 K per nine. So when you're getting up to like 16 K per nine, that's pretty insane. You know, he's living 96 miles an hour on average. So I have to imagine, you know, doesn't look max effort per se on his pitching. So I have to imagine that he would probably top out, you know, in the 98, 99 mile an hour range. I don't know for sure, but that would be my guess. The whip was a little less, you know, exciting. It was like around 1.3. He still struck out 128 last year. And, you know, the fastball's good. The changeup's good. And the slider's good. So, you know, you've got guys that can throw multiple pitches and both have good command, which is, you know, something that, you know, like when you know, that's Matt Thompson's gone. Because his command was not great. You know, his fastball was good, great curveball, decent changeup. But at the end of the day, if you're putting guys on base all the time, it really doesn't matter. And neither one of these guys do that. What are your thoughts on Jairo Iriarte off the top of your head?
Yeah, so just like a lot of upside, you know? I mean, he's very light, like we talked about, right? He's like 160 pounds. I think that's where some of like the people's perceived relief risk comes from. But I mean, I think they probably send him back to Birmingham and he's in that rotation. I mean, it's just, it's big time stuff to the point where like, you know, if he can't start, like you're at the back end of a bullpen, right? So, and look, I don't really know that Iriarte is the second piece, even though that's what we heard. I think Zavala probably is personally. But that's they're, fair. You know, they're like right next to each other. So, yeah, I think it's good. I think you got one fairly safe guy who I like better than most. And then you have, you know, like Iriarte is better than a lottery ticket, right? But it's a premium arm that's like a little bit more risky, like, you know, just because he, I guess, doesn't have as much upper level success. But, you know, pretty good. Two arms at the top, and then the Zavala was the kicker, right? Because I do think for a little bit there when it looked like I didn't really ever think it was two players. I just like think that's the way that it was reported.
Oof.
The bummer trade did more for the organization. Yeah, I mean, I don't
agree this year, that. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how. I mean, who? I mean, the biggest piece in that trade. You know, could be in the rotation this year at some point, but I mean, Thorpe's better than him. So
Yeah, I mean, I think I assume you're talking about
Schuster.
Yes, Jared Schuster.
Yeah.
And the thing was is that, you know, if he can figure out his deception again, because like, you know, again, he's kind of like a lot like Drew Thorpe, as in that he doesn't throw that hard, you know, and he relies on command and deception to get done what he gets done. And that was the, you know, as far as I was concerned, when I saw the return, that was like pretty much the big part of the return for me was him. The other guys are, you know, like 1 year guys like Soroka and, you know, Lopez is like the, you know, Shoemake.
Yeah. Yeah. Big league utility guy, Braden Shoemake, baby.
Yeah. I mean, and like when I heard the, that one rumored return where, like it was like, who was it?
The Duran? Atlanta one or what? Oh, for, no, I think for this, Rangers? For Texas.
Yeah. 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 I was
Duran's
not
24, you know? Yeah. That one, it would have totally been Bannister trying to fix Jack Leiter. That would have been like that whole return, right? But I mean, look, that stuff like that gets leaked for a reason, right? You see an old friend, Bob Nightingale, like tweeting out White Sox Yankees talks yesterday morning, which either means like the White Sox and Yankees are like super close to announcing something, or it means that the White Sox and somebody else are super close to announcing something. And, you know, and he's like trying to put the pressure on a little bit. At least, you know, at least we know that they can still use Bob even without Kenny in the building, I guess. So that's a plus, I guess.
Yep. All right. I'm going to give me 1 second here. I'm going to bring up some old Iriarte video here. And I'm going to, unlike last time, I'm going to put it on a loop so that way it doesn't just die right away. Because I think that is kind of aggravating having that frozen screen there. All right, so here's the first game. I apologize for the video quality, but their center field camera was just not up to snuff. I am sorry. But as you can see, the fastball is coming in nice and lively, and that slider just dies, and it is nasty, and good command. Yeah. So I don't know. I look at both of the pitchers, and I'm happy with both of them. You know, you can say that Zavala was the second guy on this trade, but you know, 96 mile an hour, averaging 2 strikeouts an inning. I mean, I can't complain about that.
Yeah, and I would think, I don't know, like, we'll see. Like, Thorpe could go to Charlotte, but there's obviously, like, a lot of NRIs. And, you know, we saw the way Chris Getz kind of ran the organization as the farm director. I don't know that he'll be similar as the GM. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a bad baseball team, right? So, like, there's going to be prospects in Charlotte, but I do still think there's going to be a lot of, like, veterans in Charlotte, too. So maybe Thorpe does go to double, you know, both these guys go to double A, I think would be fine to start. And then Zavala is probably the center fielder in Winston, I would imagine, which is good. And you have kind of a loaded outfield in Birmingham of, you know, kind of prospects who we talk about a lot, right? Burke and Tatum and those type of guys. So I think Zavala as the center fielder in Winston, I think makes quite a bit of sense.
So are you sure that the White Sox are going to be bad this year? Because they've got 40 hits and like, I don't know, like 30 runs in the last 2 days. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think I don't think this is their last trade. I think it's their last trade before the season starts probably, but it's not going to be their last one. You know,
ooh, that's a tough one right there.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeesh.
Too bad we don't have a reliever to trade him.
Steven Wilson.
Oh yeah. You want John Brebbia?
Yeah, yeah. May I interest you in a recently healed up calf, John Brebbia?
Or you want Michael Kopech as your setup guy?
You want Perlander Baroa, who just is out with shoulder soreness?
So I'm pretty sure Garrett Crochet is going to be in the rotation probably now.
No, you think so, be. Huh?
Well, I don't know. Unless I mean, so do you think this helps Nick Nastrini?
I, you know, I kind of do. Yeah, I was...
Like, I thought we were going to see a bunch of him anyway. I just didn't know that we'd see him right away. And now there's a chance we might see him right away.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, with the way he's looked, you know, I mean, I guess if you, you know, I will go back to one of his starts in September last year, where he had something like, I don't know, six wild pitches and like six walks or something like that in Charlotte. And, you know, I could bring that up and use that as like some a bit of caution there that, you know, yeah, he's looking really good in spring training, but I kind of would like to see him doing it in not, you know, Arizona. You know, I want to see the fine tuned command somewhere where, you know, humidity and that stuff is a factor, you know, because dry Arizona, where the pitches don't move as much, you know, like we have had a lot of pitchers in the past where in Arizona, their pitches look fine because they don't move as much as they normally do. And then they tend to bleed onto the plate, you know, when they get into, you know, when they get to Chicago, when they get somewhere where it's not dry all the time. And I want to make sure that that's not a thing. So I could see, you know, with all of the, you know, these veteran pitchers that they've signed, I wouldn't be surprised if they still stuck Nestorini down in Charlotte for a little bit just to make sure that everything's good. But I think that it definitely pushes them up, you know, in the order of, you know, how soon he might get up, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So the White Sox did just announce the trade. The collateral damage is Peyton Burdick designated for assignment. So...
Yeah, I saw that.
Because I think they need two roster spots. So who this is one thing that I didn't look at. Thorpe is on the 40, and then Wilson is my guess, and the other two guys aren't.
Well, you know, Clutch Hattrick brings up something in the YouTube comments that is certainly mm-hmm. worth thinking about. And that is Michael Lorenzen, who has been rumored to be signing with the Sox. Now, I mean, maybe this goes away now that they've got Drew Thorpe and you know, it kind of pushes everybody else up.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of close.
But I think they can replace the Cease money now, right? And I know how tight it was always, you know, right? This is kind of the way Jerry does business, right? Like, oh, you have another starter that's ready, you know, that you want to sign. Like, okay, fine, clear this money and then you can sign it, right? Like, which is a ridiculous way of doing this, but it's kind of how they've done things. So, look, if Ken Rosenthal like preemptively puts like the White Sox are negotiating with Michael Lorenzen to replace Cease, that's like the first time last night where I was like, well, he's getting traded. And then the second time was when I heard Cease speak in the locker room, basically like, yeah, they basically said I'm getting traded, but they don't know where yet. So I think he kind of had an idea. And then, you know, like the other thing that I thought was funny was the amount of people that kind of asked me, like, if he would be scratched from his spring training start. And I'm like, no, I don't know. I don't really think that's like a thing, right? Like the like trade deadline time for sure, right? Like scratch a guy because you want that extra start done, like for your team. But I mean, he needs to start, you know, it's like his turn in spring. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter. So.
Yeah, I mean, he still needs to get his innings in, right?
Yeah.
You know, like you can't just stop him from getting his innings because you want to wrap him in bubble wrap, you know?
So Clutch Hattrick, that's a great point. And
yeah, me and
Ian talk about, you know, Pedro pretty much every week. And I feel like, look, with three podcasts on this like feed now, I don't know how much big league stuff we're gonna do weekly, but I like can't help myself with this guy. And so he definitely knew, right? Like Pedro, I think is one of the only guys in the world that thinks that like the White Sox have a chance to win this year. And look, like I get it. Like when you're in it and you put as much time in as you do, like they should feel like they can win every day. Right. But that was like, he had his heart ripped out. Like, he's like, what do you mean we're starting Eric Fetty on opening day? He knew this was coming.
Yeah, I think that kind of took some of the wind out of his sails on his quest for division domination, you know? I got, he's, oh, wait. So now, I don't have Cease now?
What's
so,
the scene in Bad Santa where the kid interrupts Billy Bob Thornton at his lunch? And he's like, and he's just like complains about how it's his lunch break and he screams at the kid. That's like what I pictured yesterday when Scott Merkin asked him, hey, do you think Dylan Cease starts on opening day? And then he just loses.
How
his
do
mind.
I know?
Loses his mind. How would I know? Nobody tells me anything. Like, okay. Well.
Oh man. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It's, I kind of had the same feeling, you know. We talked about this yesterday on the major, you know, on hot takes and heaters, and I think everybody kind of had like a looming feeling that, you know, that he was pretty much gone. It's just that it was just only a matter of time, and you know, it was perfect that you know, he goes and strikes out 8 guys and looks fantastic. And it's like a tree falling in the woods. If there's nobody there to see it, did it really happen? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, big win for Dylan Cease. He gets to pitch at Petco and live in San Diego for a little while. So that's good. I'll tell you what, though. I wouldn't be surprised if Dylan Cease is traded again before he becomes a free agent. Just because, you know, it's kind of like the way AJ Preller does things, right? He's going to go for it. That rotation is sneaky, pretty good in the National League. But I mean, if they struggle again, like he could deal Cease at the deadline or next offseason to recoup some of this back and just kind of go from there. Cause, you know, like Cease is not signing an extension with anyone. I mean, you don't hire Scott Boras to sign contract extensions. So he'll be part of next year's free agent class. I just don't know if that means he necessarily finishes the year with the Padres, but. You know, at least he doesn't have to pitch for this horrible White Sox team. So he's probably not too upset, I wouldn't think.
You know, I kind of had that thought yesterday when he went out and pitched so well that he was, you know, that Getz had talked to him beforehand and told him, you know, just so you know, there's going to be some rumors flying around. And he seemed really calm about it. And he went out and took care of his business. So this was just brought up that the White Sox over under on their wins is down to 59.5 or 60.5. And I don't know whether to be offended for Dylan Cease that he only counts for what, 3 or 4 games in the win total, or whether that's just, or maybe that's, you know, about right. I don't know.
Nah, I'd go over. I mean, you know how hard it's really hard to lose that many games. Like it really is. And I know they're bad. Like they're, like bottom 3 team in baseball bad. Like if you told me they're the worst team or the worst offense, like I wouldn't be surprised, obviously, but that's just, it's just hard to lose that many. Like, so if it's 60 or 61, I'm going over. If it's 65.5, I probably wouldn't, you know, but you know, something like that. Like, I don't think they're winning 70, but 59 is, you know, it's crazy a little bit. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, they had most of their team for, you know, they had, you know, all their guys for the first half of the season last year. So, you know, who knows?
At least they can get the number one pick next year. Oh, wait, they can't.
It's so frustrating.
So there were some questions that I was going to answer. I mentioned, Kevin Malloy asked, because I made a comment about who else they would trade. Like, literally anyone. You know, like I think anybody in the bullpen that makes any sort of noise at all, they'll trade. And obviously, look, like, what does that return look like? I don't know, right? But I mean, if you get a bounce back from Aloy Jimenez, I'm not sure he's long for the team. They would trade him if they could. They would trade Yoan Moncada if they could. Michael Soroka has a Kopech bounce back season,
well,
right? That's what I mean.
If
like,
he looks good,
it could be. Any number of guys, like as they kind of reshape this thing.
So. Yeah, I think it's pretty much anybody that's only got like a year or two left on their deal, or is making money that they're trying to start snipping payroll off here, so they can completely redo how they operate.
You could give a contender Andrew Benintendi for nothing, like pay his contract.
Please. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, Steven Wilson clutch hat trick said, oh yeah, like that's definitely a flip candidate for sure. I mean, Steven Wilson. Yeah, Steven Wilson is going to be in their big league bullpen like right away, you know. So that was what Billy Bean in Moneyball was like, I need a reliever. Rincon? Yeah, that works. Okay. That's Chris Getz today looking for a fourth piece. He's like, who do you guys exactly. want? Steven Wilson? Okay. All right, done. Like
yeah. That yeah. I'm pretty sure
Putney. Yeah. I want Putney.
Yeah, I think what did Steven Wilson? He was like, yeah, 1.17 whip last year.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. And that's 53 innings pitched.
57 strikeouts. Ks and 53 innings. Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that somebody can use. That is a usable piece, as they say. That could definitely net you something, you know, assuming that he doesn't just, you know, blow up or whatever.
Yeah, the only thing that annoyed me slightly was that the Padres don't get those comp picks anymore, because I was hoping they could snag another one of those, like in a Dylan Cease trade. Like, if it was like Arizona or somebody, I'm like, oh, that could be interesting, but. You know, the Padres now spend $250 million on players. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. So Samuel Zavala is the guy that we haven't talked about. I don't have any video on him because they announced the return on the trade so late. So I apologize to everybody that I don't have a video for that, but I will throw some out on the Twitter machine here a little bit later. Good OBP, you know, and power, you know, he's been running around a 400 OBP and around a 900 OPS at every stop that he's had. So, you know, there are some concerns about strikeouts, but, you know, the OBP around 400 kind of slaps you in the face and says, hey, don't worry about that so much, because he's finding a way to do what he needs to do to get on base and create runs. You know, obviously you're happy about this pickup. You want to expound on this?
Yeah. So I like the profile. He's 19 years old, you know, typical of Padres guys. He was, I don't want to say rushed, but they're pretty aggressive with him. I mean, he's played in A ball, so I think he'll be in high A as a 19-year-old for most of this season. He will turn 20 in season. The strikeouts are a concern, but he gets on base all the time. I think he's going to stay in center field for at least a while. You know, he might have to move to a corner at some point, but he should have like enough power to do so. Left-handed hitter. So, yeah, 19-year-old athletic outfielder that can play center and gets on base. Like they don't have many of these guys. So, like getting a guy like this as, I guess, like the perceived third piece in a deal is pretty good. I mean, he was the number 6 prospect in the Padres system coming into the season with Baseball America. And then they signed Leo Dallas DeVries in the international market that kind of bumped him down. So, but yeah, I mean, you get three of the Padres top 10, and their top guys are ridiculous, right? You have DeVries and Salas, and then, you know, the two prep pitchers who I thought you might have been able to pull one of them. And then it's kind of Thorpe and these guys, like after that, along with Dylan Head, who, you know, I'm a little bit surprised wasn't in this deal. But look, if they're prioritizing Zavala over Head, like I can live with that. Zavala is a little bit further along. There's more power. So, yeah, like it's pretty interesting. I'm not surprised that this was the best offer, like especially this late.
Yeah. The one thing I don't know about Zavala is his defense. I know what, you know, I know the position he plays, but I've never watched him in the outfield. So I don't know. I don't know anything about his defense. Only what I've, you know, read in scouting reports, which isn't really a whole lot. That, you know, he's not slow. He's a, you know, a decent fielder. So I like that part of the whole thing kind of eludes me until I start seeing him probably play for the Dash in, you know, a month.
Yeah, I would think so. Winston-Salem, I don't think any of that's out yet. I haven't looked to see. I know the White Sox tweeted about the deal. I don't know if Chris Getz has met the media or not, but I would imagine that's coming.
Yeah, and obviously we'll have you know, we'll have video of that for for Sunday night.
And I think Elijah Elijah's writing something up on the trade, so that should be out in the morning. Hopefully, you know, this will post as a podcast. I don't know if anybody else will host. If Elijah or somebody else wants to get on and talk about it, we could, you know, somebody can do another one if they want. But, you know, I just think like the aftermath will be interesting, right? Like, what does the team say? Like, obviously they, you know, I'm sure they'll say they were blown away, which is why they did it, right? Like they very clearly wanted to move Dylan Cease, but they weren't going to give him away. And, you know, they feel like this is enough. You know, I hear from people at spring training, it's like, oh, I just saw Chris Getz and Barfield and Gene Watson, like all together, like upstairs, you know, like, it's like, all right, well, like I knew some stuff was going on in the last 48 hours. And then, you know, the baseball media in unison starts writing and tweeting about it. It's like, you know, stuff kind of like starts happening. And I don't know how much like the pitching injuries like had an effect, because like that stuff didn't really affect AJ Preller, right? Like maybe AJ Preller was just going to AJ Preller this whole time, you know, because that's what I had kind of heard from people, like, oh, it's all the injuries, like they got more teams involved, which might be true, right? But it's not like the Yankees freaked out and did it. Like it was San Diego.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually kind of surprised that it, you know, not be, you know, with Preller being in the equation, I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised that nobody else with all of the, you know, top tier pitching that's had issues here as of late, I'm pretty surprised that, you know, that that's what did it. And hearing that the Giants were in on it.
I know. I was trying to piece together a package from them. Like, like, what does that look like? Like, we're not going to get into it now, but, and look, maybe that's what my guess is. They're going to at least say publicly that they love Drew Thorpe, right? That has to be it. And if these other teams being involved is what allowed them to pry Drew Thorpe from the Padres, pushing this deal over the top, like maybe, you know, maybe that's essentially the way it goes. I don't know.
All right, so let's go ahead and get to some
rank,
of those.
We're going to rank some dudes. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of go back here to the first one of these comments here from Kevin Malloy. Would really like to hear where you guys think the system stands now rankings-wise. Number 10 in The Athletic, 11 in Fangraphs before this deal.
Yeah. So I don't know if Law, like, did Law rank Mina or no? Like, was that after that? Or I think it was after that, right?
I think it was after Mena was traded.
Okay. Well, so Law, I mean, I'm sure Law will have his write-up done, like, when you get up in the morning. Like, I'm sure it'll be on The Athletic, because they don't have a beat writer, but, you know, they still put together these sorts of things. I saw some, there was, like, a trade reaction on that site from, like, all their writers. I saw, like, a little bit earlier. Everybody seemed to be pretty positive about the return for the White Sox. And then for the Padres, it was like AJ Preller, you know, it was like essentially like, hey, like he did it again type thing without trading his very, very top guys. So, yeah, I mean, I guess like, I don't know, like if you think their system is in the 10 to 12 range, maybe this makes it, I don't know, like 8 or 9, something like that. Right. If you're more like me, where you think it's middle of the pack, it, you know. I think it's probably still middle of the pack, most likely. I think 20 is a little harsh, but you know, if you told me like 10 through 15, I could go with that.
Yeah. I think that obviously it's going to matter on the publication, you know, the, you know, where they're going. Me personally, you know, like I kind of thought they were living in like the 14, 15, 16 area. Before this, and I kind of think that this has to put them, you know, somewhere at least around 10.
Well, you're adding three top 10s, right? So in Baseball America, I think Drew Thorpe is 54th in baseball right now. So, you know, for them, that puts him ahead of, like, they only have two in the 100 there. It's Montgomery and Schultz. So I think it's like, you know, for people that really like Caro and Ramos, then you really like this system. You know what I mean? But for others, I kind of feel like it'll still be Montgomery, Schultz, and Thorpe, you know? And then a lot of guys in the 101 to 150 range. But look, I mean, the difference in the system from today to this time last year is staggering. And look, they were they won sixty-one games, you know. So look, I mean, yeah, it's not like this accomplishment that like they're it's not like they're running away with the Central every year and they've done this to their farm system, right? Like it took them being bad and trading guys away. But I do think the system's a lot better. And after the July draft and maybe some more trades, like it could be even better than that. And they have a lot of money coming off the books. So look, I don't think it's all bad. You know, and I understand being cynical and the skepticism, like I'm there too. I know who the owner is. Right. But I don't think this is all terrible.
Yeah, I kind of think that if you had told me before that the White Sox were going to trade Christian Mena, Gregory Santos, and Dylan Cease, and that the farm system was going to be markedly better than it was when Mena was here, I would have been pretty surprised, you know? But I think the return on the Cease trade's just, you know, going to – I mean – you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, like I look at Iriarte and like I'm looking at basically where I was kind of figuring that Mena was, you know, in the top 10 for the White Sox, you know, like somewhere around like 7-8.
Right.
You know, I think he's probably going to end up there. And then you got Drew Thorpe, you know, so he's going to bump the guys behind him back a little bit as well. So I think the system has gotten markedly better. The other question that was there, let me scroll back up to it.
This is the tough part.
Yes, it really is. You know, so I had, you know, we had talked about this a little bit earlier that I kind of feel like maybe Drew Thorpe might, you know, push Schultz back to three. And for me, it's an innings load thing. Haven't seen the innings out of Schultz yet, you know, and the fact that, you know, pitcher of the year, very polished and, you know, the stuff's nasty. I mean, you know, some people are saying that, you know, including our very own Danny Miller saying that he thinks that just, you know, because he's got a 92 mile an hour fastball that he's going to get touched up. So, I don't know. Your thoughts on that, where he slots in?
Yeah, so, I mean, Colson's obviously one. I'd have Schultz two and Thorpe three, definitely. You're going to flip them. I have no issue. I mean, you know, whatever. It's, you know, it's your list. I understand, like, the difference there. I don't really understand Thorpe lower than three, though, honestly. And I think we'll see it, right? I think there'll be some people who are high on Ramos or Carroll or these other guys. But the way you have to look at this is, like, Thorpe is a top 100 prospect pretty much everywhere, right? So if you think somebody else in the system's better than him, then they would rank higher on the top 100, right? And we're not just looking at lists and doing this, but it's just kind of a, you know, like looking at where everybody ranks. So I'd probably go Thorpe at three. You know, like on my personal list, I ranked Caro like ahead of Ramos, but I mean, I think those guys are four or five still for me. And then I'd have Nastrini six. Like I understand Nastrini ahead of those guys. I just lean position player. You know, if I think it's similar. So I think those are the six. And then after that, like, I think these other two Padres guys factor in.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like, you know, and I kind of struggled, you know, with the Nastrini eater thing personally on my own list, you know, just because the upside for eater, if he regains, you know, what he had pre-TJ,
right?
If he has that back, I mean, you are looking, you know, like Paul Skeens level dominance, you know?
Right. It's like a number two starter for sure. Like if he's. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So I'd understand that. Like, so then right in that like 7, 8, 9 range, I mean, you're looking at Eater. I think you're looking at Iriarte, Zavala in there. You know, and then it kind of just depends like where, you know, do you like Jacob Gonzalez? Do you like Peyton Paulette? Do you like Jonathan Cannon? Like, you know, at that point, it's kind of like personal flavor type stuff. But I do think these three guys probably go in right into the top 10, I would think.
Was Eater a top 100 guy? Yeah. I don't remember. He was, right? Yeah, like, right after his...
Very briefly. So there were a lot of teams that were trying to get Eater in the 2020 draft. And I think it was Joe Doyle that told us, like, teams were mad. The Marlins, like, overpaid him in the fourth round and got him. And they were, you know, and then he's just been hurt a ton. But he was awesome in the minors. And then he got hurt multiple times, had Tommy John, you know. So, I mean, there were a lot of people that obviously hated that trade, but there were some scouts that loved it because they'd seen Eater so many times and they were like, oh my goodness, you know, and just what he could be. But yeah, he's got to, I mean, he's just, he's got to stay healthy. He has to pitch. And, you know, I'd heard he was a little bit better in instructs, like, or, you know, similar than he was like when the Sox got him. But yeah, I mean, that's a lot of upside. I mean, he could be right up at two or three at midseason if he's, you know, if he's as good as he's supposed to be. So
yeah,
it's a definitely a more interesting list than it was.
Yeah. Just to remind everybody, just off of the top of my head, Jake Eater was drafted. They moved him directly to Double A. He pitched almost 100 innings right after college, had a sub-1 whip, had a right around an ERA of 1, struck out in like 98 people and walked like 24. So 4-1 strikeouts to walks. The dude was borderline unhittable in Double A coming straight from college.
Yeah, like, and then he,
that is Paul Skeens level dominance, just insane.
And then he blew out, and he took a while to get back, and then he had a leg injury too.
Fractured his foot. Yep.
Right. So
on his plant foot.
And I will say he did, like, before the White Sox traded for him, he looked pretty close to all the way back, in like 4 starts for the Marlins affiliate, for the Marlins Double A affiliate, and then obviously he came here and it was a lot of walks, and, you know, it kind of regressed a little bit, but. You know, we've talked about Brian Bannister a lot, so hopefully that magic gets worked a little bit. But, I mean, look, I mean, even, like, in closing here, I mean, Drew Thorpe, Jared Schuster, Nick Nastrini, Jake Eater, there's, like, a lot of guys here who, I don't know that they have an ace, right? But it's a lot of potential, like, number 3 and number 4 starters, which are valuable guys. And I think we could see all of them this year, probably, like, at some point. I mean, there's no reason not to. You have 2 veteran catchers, I think, for that reason. So, you know, they have they've built up quite a bit of similar pitching depth for sure.
Yeah, and I mentioned on Hot Takes and Heaters last night, you know, I was listening to Benetti the other day, and previously in, like, I don't know, 2 seasons ago, it was like 11 pitchers, like starting pitchers that you needed per year. Benetti said that last year the average team had 12 and a half starters. So these guys are, you know, some of these guys are definitely going to see some time in the majors. And, I mean, it just depends on on who, you know. Excuse me. Wow.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, so we'll see. Like, I guess just like the aftermath of this, what does it mean? I think what it means is we're going to be having beers and food and watching Eric Fetty start opening day for the White Sox is what I think it means.
I'll be there.
Me too. Yeah.
Hooray. You know, I think that regardless of what happens, I don't think I could be as dejected this year as I was last year during opening day.
I mean, even like, right, like the last two, like the second Tony year from a couple weeks in on was brutal. And then last week, like, they just kick you right in the face immediately with the losing streak. And it just never got back. Right.
I mean, from the second inning, they kicked you in the face when Kopech gave up like, what, 5 home runs or something in opening day?
Tipping his pitches against the Giants, like, right away. Yeah. So it was brutal. Yeah. I don't think he'll be starting opening day. So,
I also do not. Do you have anything else?
No, I think we're good. I think we think we covered it. I don't know if we'll have any more breaking news podcasts like before the season starts, but you know, it's fun. It's fun to have some, I guess, just like some clarity on the situation, because I would have been, I don't know, like I would have liked watching Dylan Cease pitch, obviously, but I would have been nervous the entire first half that something bad was going to happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I get that. You know, I just, you know, it was kind of one of those things that if, you know, if you don't get your price, I didn't see much point in like moving off of that just because, you know,
we're going to go. Do you think this was, do you think he settled? Like, do you think this is lower than he anticipated?
You know, I mean, 2023 pitcher of the year and another very solid starting pitcher, you know, I mean, this kind of is like one of those things where, and like, talking about the, you know, clutch hat tricks comment here, they have a bunch of solid young pitching depth. Somebody has to work out. Somebody. You get this giant just pile of arms. You have to at least be able to get some controllable arms for the foreseeable future that are going to, you know, put some solid innings out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you put these kind of arms in the rotation, somebody is going to take it and run with it. You know, I just don't know who it's going to be.
Like, does he make this trade in December? Maybe not. Right. But I think the, you know, the risk calculus was different in December, right? Like in December, you're still holding out for like some sort of crazy package. Whereas now you determine that this is better for you than figuring out what you could get for, you know, a year and a half of Dylan Cease instead of 2 years of Dylan Cease. So I think I think it factors in a little bit, and I knew like, look, I think he got enough for sure. I think it's fine. But I just wonder how much, you know, their thought process changed as this went along.
Yeah. I'm also curious about that, you know, whether he feels like he didn't get what he wanted or if he feels like this was a steal. I'm kind of curious, you know, and I'll never know. But I'm curious, you know, like what his feelings, like what his true feelings on the return are. But
yeah,
you know,
Kevin mentioned Jordan Leisure. I don't know who made that trade, right? It was like Rick Hahn or Kenny. That's a good freaking trade, man. Like
it
that
really was.
The Dodgers trade is gonna pay dividends, I think, because snag Jordan Leisure and Nastrini for two guys that you wanted the hell out of your clubhouse immediately is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not angry about that one. Thanks for everybody hopping on tonight and hanging out. Hope you feel better about the return on the Cease deal than you felt before you came in here, and hope we eased your you know, your feelings a little bit. I don't know how much, you know, if you're ready to jump off a ledge, I don't know what to tell you, but you know, it is what it is, and we'll see how this pays out.
We gotta talk our own guys off the ledge, Ian. They're not, you know, they're
well, I mean, we still haven't gotten over the Jacob Gonzalez thing with Elijah, so I don't know, you know? FutureSox.net, you can find written content. There will be an article about this by our Elijah Evans tomorrow morning about the trade. You can find our top 30, which now we're going to have to update at some point here in the near future, I would imagine.
So, hey, really quick. Yeah. Before we do that. So we are going to publish our individual top 30 lists, like on our Patreon, and we'll just include these names in it now. There's no reason not to. So that'll be a little bit different. We won't retroactively like fix the 30 on the main site, but our individual ones we can do it for.
Yeah, that's fair. So you'll have those personal ones. Yeah. You can come headhunting for us when we release them, and you can yell at us on Twitter. My name's Ian Eskridge at Daily White Sox. He is James Fox at James Fox 917. Future Sox on Twitter at Future Sox on Twitter. On FutureSox.net, you can support us on Patreon if you want us to continue doing content. You can also get other special content that will be available. A lot of interview stuff. Also, if you are listening to this in podcast form, know that you can watch all of our live streams on our YouTube. And you can also watch it on twitch.tv/FutureSox. Thank you so much for coming in tonight. We appreciate all you guys that hopped in on the comments. And hope to see you guys on Sunday night at 8 p.m. Unless there is something else that happens in the near future here in the next couple of days, which I don't foresee, but you never know. For myself, Ian Eskridge, and James Fox, we appreciate you guys. Have a great night, and we will talk to you soon. All right. Thanks.